A little in front of midnight here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on the Fan. 888-808-1019. The first After Hours since last Tuesday night. So we have a lot to discuss, and we will do that over the next 2 hours. The first 2 hours of the show have been mainly Yankees. Huge win in Tampa. And a very crushing, really poor performance by us in the World Cup tonight as we lose at the hands of Belgium 4-1. So no date with Spain on Friday night for men's soccer Team USA, which is really unfortunate. That would have been it's a free roll. I mean, Spain is one of the best teams in this tournament. They're one of the odds-on favorite, so nobody's expecting a win on Friday night. But just to be in that match, to be in that conversation, to be in that moment, to be on that stage with Spain would have been an awesome moment for our country, for Team USA soccer, for really this entire run. It would have, I think, solidified and been this was a great run. It ended on Friday night in all likelihood. I didn't think USA was going to beat Spain. I didn't think we were going to beat Spain. But just to be on that field, on that stage, and be in that moment with them, I thought it would have been an unbelievable just achievement for this group. And heck, if you win the match somehow, some way, it would be one of the most monumental victories, I think, in the history of the World Cup as far as an upset and as far as something that just stamps us on the map in terms of soccer at this level in this tournament. Sadly, that didn't happen. I think all the goodwill that led up to this point, the majority of it is lost. Christian Pulisic did not have a strong performance. Matt Fries with an all-time blunder, a Young Wei Koo moment where he goes to kick the ball, essentially misses the ball, hits the ground. Easy score for Belgium. And that put it 3-1. And the hopes and dreams of getting to the quarterfinals for us went down in flames. We'll get into the basketball coming up here this hour. Mitchell Robinson, I haven't been able to comment on this yet on this great radio station. He is a Celtic. Jaylen Brown is a Sixer. Could DeMar DeRozan be a Knick in the next couple of days as he is now available to sign and perhaps at the veteran min? So a lot of basketball, we'll touch on that. And of course, the Mets. Two victories in a row. Steve Cohen did meet the media or had an interview with Joel Sherman and John Heyman. So I want to discuss a few things that came out of that interview. And I want to explain to everybody why I'm not, if I'm the Mets, trading Francisco Lindor. So that's what we got on tap here on stage on the menu for the final 2 hours of After Hours. And your calls at 888-808-1019. Tim is in Roslyn here on the Fan. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Tommy, thanks for taking the call. Tough loss for the boys tonight. I tell you, if they were to play Spain, I don't think they'd touch the ball the whole game.
No, it was going to be brutal. It was going to be brutal. But at least you're there. It's one of those games where, hey, you're there. No one's expecting anything. They would have absolutely probably just been completely and utterly outclassed. But at least you're in that moment. You would have had the hype over the next couple of days. And you would have beaten Belgium. And I know this isn't peak Belgium, and they didn't play some of their other starters or some of their starters tonight. But still, it's a win over Belgium. It's a chance to play in the quarterfinals. And that wasn't on the table, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, no, look. Belgium, they talked about their golden generation. But now I view it as like a precursor of them developing a great program. Their country is becoming more diverse, within the last few decades. Mm-hmm. And it just shows you can grow as a national team program. And I'd say the Copa America is a significant event for those type of games. You could find yourself, if you're successful at the Copa America, playing in Argentina, playing in Brazil.
Absolutely.
With big stakes.
Yeah, you could get in.
And that's
yeah.
what you're looking for in you these are. Alternate years. So to just dismiss it is foolish. I think those are huge tournaments.
They are, but I don't think the average, stuff. I don't think the casual fan is watching it, though. That was really my point.
No, I wish the casual fan would be more educated and actually tune in.
But that's what makes him a casual fan. That's what makes him casual.
Well, it's upsetting because, I think there is opportunity to grow with this men's national team. Now, are they ever going to win a World Cup in our lifetime? No, but they could get to those big games versus those big powers.
I mean, if you get to a semifinal, though, Tim, I would say that considering where USA men's soccer started out at and where it would be at if they get to the semifinals, I think that would be an amazing, amazing accomplishment.
In 2002, they got to the quarterfinal. I think that's the best team ever, excluding the 1930s team. I don't know what happened there.
But I'm telling you,
I want to see them get back to that, you know, quarterfinal. A semifinal seems like a pipe dream. But I think, you know, if they're smart and they could target players with, like, that dual citizenship.
Yep.
Maybe you get really lucky one of these guys. Turns out, like, Flo's a great player, and he's growing, and he's going to be around. He was a great recruit and a great target.
Yeah, he's a great coup. I mean, the fact that he picked us when he had other options, I think, was an amazing, you know, thing. And he's a great striker and a huge reason why they got to this point. So to your point, if there are other Flo Balogun's down the line that pick America, pick us, then it will certainly help this team out.
Right, and I hope the fans, you know, people who were invested emotionally this go around, stick around a little bit, because, you know, it could be, it could be worthwhile. And, I'll let you go. Thank you, Tommy.
Yeah, I got you, Tim. And I understand your frustration, and I understand a diehard soccer fan's frustration with, the Copa, but we won't be locked in on that. I think two things can be true. I don't think the casual soccer fan, which I consider myself one, I don't think I'll be locked in on it. But I understand how it could be a stepping stone, because you could see the likes of the teams that we've talked about, the blue bloods of soccer. And I think that, hey, anything is possible. So you say in our lifetime, look, they got a long way to go. We got a long way to go. But you never want to say never when it comes to the idea of winning a World Cup. But I believe only 9 countries have won a World Cup. So there's a lot of teams in the boat of us. We're in the boat of a lot of teams. And there's some big time, what you would almost consider blue blood nations that haven't won. So there's still steps to be made here. That could be true. But what could also be true was tonight was embarrassing in a lot of ways. The Matt Freeze moment was embarrassing. I thought Pulisic's performance was just not good at all. We had a bunch of chances in that second half, weren't able to cash in on it. And you feel like, hey, you stepped up in competition. Belgium didn't even start all their big-time players, which tells you that they overlooked us, and it ended up being the right move because they won 4-1 and they were able to rest some guys for their match with Spain on Friday. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. You know, I guessed it tonight just using my sports brain, but the trade deadline is August 3rd for baseball. I didn't even have to look it up. I just knew it. I didn't know it off the top of my head. I just guessed it off the top of my head. That's how brilliant I am. That's when you're a generational talent. But obviously, Yankees and Mets will both be very active at the deadline. And we've discussed a little bit of some of the Yankee moves. We've touched on it with the Mets as well, but the Lindor one I definitely want to get to, because that has gained a lot of steam over the last couple of days. Because I'm on vacation, and I'm trying my best, because I know there's a lot of sports talk hosts that want to just not ever disconnect from their job. I've never been like that. When I work behind the scenes, I always disconnected. Now that I'm a host, I disconnect. That's just what I do. I think it's a healthy way to go about life. I'm not disconnecting for 6 months. Can I disconnect for 2 days? I think that's fair. But this Lindor stuff, Lindor? The idea that would even be on the table to me is ridiculous. I am not, if I'm the Mets, trading Francisco Lindor. But we'll touch a lot more on that coming up in the next hour and change. Let's go to Sam in Patterson here on The Fan. What's up, Sam?
Hey, how are you, Tommy?
Good. How you doing?
Good. So I have 2 trade ideas for the Yankees. I want to hear your input.
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, the catching position, obviously, they needed someone that could hit. Yeah. And I thought of this idea. The Dodgers, they have a backup catcher. His name is Dalton Rushing.
Yes, who's their starting catcher right now because Will Smith is hurt.
Yeah, but Will Smith is going to come back. And as we know, Will Smith is like the most elite. And I could totally see them trading him for like a really good package. That was my first idea.
I mean, they're just not going to do that though, because he's a young player and they're not going to give away a young player that has a high ceiling. I understand. This is one of those things where you have to be careful when you make trade things, is where it's like, oh, I'd love to get this player, but you have to see it from the other team's point of view, which, listen, could be fair for Hunter Goodman, but the Rockies have him under a couple of years. He is a great young catcher, But I think it's a little bit more reasonable because the Rockies stink that they would be willing to move on from a player that could get them, you know, some pieces to build for the future.
Right. And my second idea was what you were discussing previously, which is a blockbuster trade and the Yankees get Lindor. And let me tell you why I think
you had a nice setup there. I like because you kind of, you slipped, I thought you would lead with Lindor, but you went rushing first, and then you kind of saved the Lindor bombshell for second. So you're kind of warming up the crowd, and now you're going into your Lindor to the Yankees bombshell. I will play along. How does this go about? What are the Mets getting in return? What is your trade proposal for Lindor to the Yankees?
Well, I want to start with, as we know, it's going to either be Lindor or Soto by the Mets. It can't be both of them because they fight like cats and dogs.
Well, we have no real proof that they fight necessarily like cats and dogs. I don't think they're like an old married couple when they get lost, you know, pre-GPS and they can't find their destination. This idea that they fight like cats and dogs is pure speculation.
I think they bicker like little brothers.
I don't know if they necessarily bicker either, and I don't know really what the extent of their relationship is. I do know this, though. They're on a baseball team with a lot of people. They don't have to be best friends and go out after the game to have a partnership as far as teammates and for the Mets to be a successful baseball team. I know that narrative is starting to gain steam that, well, if these two guys don't get along, and listen, Steve Cohen, when he talked to Sherman and when he talked to John Heyman, by bringing up the relationship of Lindor and Soto, he kind of reignited that topic. So I understand why it's now kind of growing back again here. But this idea that because these two potentially don't have the greatest relationships means they can't be teammates, I think is overblowing the situation.
Why? I think, like, we, especially with this Knicks team, we saw when you have good chemistry, the team's unstoppable. I think these little things actually make a huge
difference. I think basketball chemistry is a little bit different because you're passing the ball to your teammates. You're not passing the ball to anybody on baseball. Baseball is a individual sport played at a team level. Now, I get it as far as like chemistry, meaning like, hey, you want, it could be overblown though, but you do want a little bit of continuity there. But I don't think it's on the level of basketball. I don't think it's a fair comment.
Yeah, sorry. Also, I think Craig said their wives don't get along.
Yeah, I don't even know. But again, though, I have a wife. If she didn't get along with one of the wives here, whatever. What do the wives have to do with anything? They're nothing. So don't sit in the same section. And Juan Soto doesn't have a wife, as far as I know. I think you're talking about with Brandon Nimmo, or people don't get along with this wife or that wife. I don't think. Yeah. Juan Soto is single, and good for him, by the way. He gets it. The rumor was more Nimmo, his wife, and Lindor's wife. But again, I don't think that has really anything to necessarily do with players as teammates and what you're doing camaraderie-wise in a locker room. And yes, the Knicks are a great example of where chemistry was important for this team, and the Knicks did win the championship by the power of friendship. But that's not the case for every team. Not every team that wins championships, all the players in the locker room love each other. Far from it. Or their wives get along or any of that other salacious stuff. I didn't even hear the trade proposal, but that's fine. We're not trading Francisco Lindor. By we, not that I'm on the Mets, but we meaning us as a society, as a planet, as a world, as a sports vortex here. We just had the Heat Dome, so as a sports dome, we're not trading Francisco Lindor to the Yankees. We're not doing that. That's not happening. You can call and talk about it and discuss it and throw it out there because everything could be on the table. There's certainly no bad suggestions, but it's not one that I or the Mets should even entertain. And I wouldn't trade Francisco Lindor, period. Period. Now, you want to know what I think is the solution if there is a relationship issue with the two of these guys? A manager that can walk in here and fix it. Because there's a lot of players through the years that maybe didn't have the best relationships, but you know what? You had a strong leader at the top. And he was able to control that type of stuff. That's why I've been a big Alex Cora proponent. Much like I was a big proponent of Harbaugh. Taskmaster, CEO, adult in the room, no nonsense, has dealt with superstars. For the sake of this conversation, if the Mets are sellers, there are a lot of options on this team that I think would be great trade pieces, including the guy that closed the game out tonight, Luke Weaver, who is just having an unbelievable year. And it further proves that not everything David Stearns, although that's all you hear, everything, every move that David Stearns makes. Yeah, not really, not every move. We forget the moves he made that got the team to the NLCS. Or the moves where they're the best team in baseball through the first half of last year. Or the moves like Luke Weaver, who's all-star year. Clay Holmes of an all-star year before he got hurt. And I can't give Joe Shane full credit for Jackson Dart. I'll give him some. I think you give David Stearns some credit for Juan Soto. We could debate what the sum is, but it's some. But yeah, I'm not trading Francisco Lindor. Not to the Yankees, not to anybody. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Chino is in Fort Lee here on The Fan. What's up, Chino?
Tommy, what's up, brother?
Hey,
how we doing?
Great, how you doing?
It's good to see the Yankees and the Mets won on the same day for the first time in like 2 months.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a minute. And yeah, you got a great baseball night. It didn't work out with the soccer, but if you're just more strictly a baseball fan or the four major sports fans, it was a night where both fan bases can go home and be at least a little bit happy. I know we've had some Yankee fans call up that felt like, hey, you had three hits. They were all home runs. It was a lot of strikeouts. And what I would say to that is the team won a game. You beat a team that you could ill afford to lose any more ground to in Tampa. And the Mets had another win over the Braves, and they've played well against Atlanta this year. So I think any win right now for the Mets is a good win, a positive win, and the Yankees, when it comes to playing Tampa, they can't afford to continue to lose ground. So I don't care how they got it done, they got it done.
Yeah, you can't sell the win short on both of them.
Yeah.
Atlanta's the best team in the NL right now, next to the Dodgers.
Yeah, I would say the Dodgers are. But yeah, I got what you're saying. They're certainly in the conversation.
And Tampa's won 9 out of 11. So
they've been red hot.
We're both teams are turning a page today. I felt a shift. But I called in because I wanted to give some more good news for the Tri-State possibility. Just a bird on the vine from the grape land. Clay Thompson probably going to the Knicks. Another sharpshooter. I don't know if you heard any insight on that or you know anything. But I know there's a lot of talk about DeRozan, but it's most likely going to be Clay.
Well, I'll say this about Clay. Josh Hart in his podcast talked about Clay Thompson. Now, did he just throw that out there or does he know something?
No. Clay Thompson was at the Yankees game on Saturday in the skybox with Cashman and the owner of the Knicks. I was there. So,
now was that out there, or that was just something you saw?
No, that's just Yankee Stadium employee chatter.
Okay.
Hey. Clay's coming to the game today. So, I mean, it's more than likely to happen.
I mean, I would say this.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, I feel great about it. I mean, Clay Thompson's one of the greatest shooters in the history of the sport. He's a guy that you could bring in here. Yeah. If you don't go with Clarkson and you bring in Clay Thompson. Now, look, he's not in his prime or even close anymore. But if he can make buckets and hit three-pointers and sort of fix it.
Right.
You know, the one thing I'd say about Clay is he's got to get with the program. You know, that's part of being here now with the chemistry they have. If he's able to do that, then, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I could see him living in the corner wing, just having 15 a night off the bench.
Yeah, he would be an instant offense guy, especially with the rhythm that this team has with the Mike Brown offense. I mean, Clay Thompson would certainly fit it like a glove. So that's one of the reasons why I like the idea of DeRozan. Now, DeRozan is more of a guy that needs the ball in his hands to get it, where Clay Thompson doesn't. He could just park in the corner. But I like ideas of bucket getters off the bench here, especially if you don't have Clarkson coming back. So whether it's Clay or DeRozan on a vet minimum, I'm all for that. And if you're Clay Thompson, when you look at his dating history, he certainly would want to be in New York. That's for sure.
Yeah, but deal breaker, Clay Thompson, 4 rings, DeRozan, 0.
Listen, if we're talking winners, if we're talking somebody that's been in that championship DNA.
You got the nerve for it.
Yeah, and I like that because when we're talking about bringing in guys that are on the vet minimum, I want guys that have won because you're bringing in a winning culture into this winning culture. They don't have to learn the winning culture. They already know what it's all about.
Yeah, like the 2020 bubble Lakers. What did LeBron do? He brought in all these former ring winners. Well, you know, Rondo, et cetera.
Yep.
Danny Green. You know, we just need a couple guys like that. I think we're good back-to-back. Would you stamp a finals appearance again, back-to-back appearance at least?
You're saying saying would I be satisfied if they got to the finals and lost?
No, I'm saying would you be satisfied with Klay Thompson addition and guarantee a Knicks finals appearance again next year?
Yeah.
With the Eastern Conference makeup.
Yeah, I to me, Chino, I still think the Knicks are the best with or without him. Where if everything just kind of stays where it is now and the season started tomorrow, I think the Knicks are the best team in the Eastern Conference. People are crowning the Sixers. Did I miss something? Their bench is horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, did I miss when they have all this depth now?
Listen, Tommy, I got something for you. Nick, Sixers don't make the playoffs next year.
Ooh.
A la the Mets last season. How about that one?
Yeah, I kind of like where your head's at. First of all, we know this. Embiid is a mummy when he's out there. His injury history is enough said. He's not going to go a full year, and he can't even give you a full series. This team has absolutely no depth. I think they're gutless. I don't know what's please explain to me how good Jaylen Brown could be at this point if the Celtics traded him to a rival in the Eastern Conference. So that's a head-scratcher for me. But, yeah, I think the Sixers are going to have all this hype, and I agree with you. I think they're going to fall short. I don't know about missing the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to the finals.
I think they'll lose in five to us, or six.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because, Chino, I already have kind of mapped out my road for the Knicks to get back to the finals, and it did not include the Sixers, but this was prior to the Jaylen Brown trade, so I might have to redo my road for the Knicks and add the Sixers in there, not just because it's Philly, but because Jaylen Brown has continuously opened his mouth about the Knicks. So I'd love to kind of stick it to him again. So I might have to reevaluate my road for the Knicks.
Absolutely. Yeah, if anything, the Magic are in our way, if anything. Just from my point of view, they've been the quietest in free agency and the draft and everything. I think they're, you know, what they say, you know, whatever moves silent moves stronger. So
You think as far as making a big splash here, or you mean as far as taking the next step because of this young team they have?
No, them being in the way of our back-to-back. Like, they really want it. You know, they're gonna come, and Banchero's going to be an actual superstar.
They got to stay healthy. I mean, they're a team that constantly
and they're
has
stay
these injuries.
Healthy. Yeah.
It's a big if.
Yeah.
They get hurt a lot. This guy, and that derailed them against Detroit. And also, they can't shoot. I mean, they have these games and where they just they can't hit the water if they fell off a boat. They have these rough shooting nights. And the fact that they get hurt a lot, I do think they're very talented. They're a rough and tough team. They're a lunch pail team. So I understand where you're coming from. But until they put it all together, Chino, same thing with Detroit. Like, until I see it all out there together and the inexperience that they have too, you know, they don't have a lot of experience.
Until the Knicks put it together, you know, same thing. I know it's a far throw here, but...
No, I appreciate it, because you're not going with, like, a standard, it's going to be Philly, it's going to be Boston,
it's real.
Miami.
No, not at all. If anything, it'll be Orlando, because they're more of a team. They've been together playing longer.
Yeah, I tend to think it's Indiana, but I think it's... If you gave me A, you said, hey, Tommy, who's the team that worries you? It's Indiana.
Yeah, Tommy, you got a point there. They got Zubac now.
Yep. And they have the Knicks number, and they don't fear the Knicks, and they match up well against us. So, look, I hate them, but I certainly respect them. And if you gave me one team that I think could stand in the Knicks' way of going back to the finals and repeating, it's Indiana.
Gotcha. Yeah, especially with the whole Halliburton versus Brunson, WWE, moniker.
Yeah, and look, they always get up for the Knicks. I mean, anytime Indiana sees the Knicks, even in the regular season, it's their Super Bowl. They get up for us. They don't have any fear of that building or this team. And look, the Pacers have depth. They are physical. They have a star guy that has performed in the star moments in Halliburton. So, Indiana to me is the team. I like Orlando because it's a little outside the box, but Indiana is the one for me.
And just before we go here, I just want to say, and I do appreciate you. As far as last year and your claims with, Big Brother in New York and stuff. Mm-hmm. We're past that, right? You know, so I want to appreciate you for being real, and I know you threw in the towel with your Mets, but stay strong, brother.
Well, no towel's been thrown, but what towel did I throw in? Did I pull? Is this a Bob Backlund situation that the towel has been thrown
in? Was that you or was that Evan? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's probably Evan. Yeah, did I pull an Owen Hart here?
Evan then.
Yeah, Evan. What did he throw the towel in for? For the season, you mean? Not just in not general. Like, he just threw it in for the season.
Yeah, for the season.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be Evan, though. Let's be real.
See, no, I'm not a big towel thrower though. I know, like, and I appreciate the call. Great conversation. I know that we are here on Sports Talk Radio, and it has to be a lot about the, I'm throwing in the towel. It is a must-win situation. It is a death of a season. It is. I know sometimes we have to have, and I'm guilty of that, hyperbolic sort of statements of, it is over. It is officially over for me. And a lot of that is, and I get it, you're being honest, you're being real, but if there's still time on the clock, I think we've learned that, and certainly anything could happen. I'm just more mathematically eliminated kind of guy. Hey, they're mathematically eliminated. Now they're dead. And then I'll concede. But yeah, that was, as far as I know, that was Evan. I wasn't on the air for the last couple days. I have to admit, I wasn't keeping up with everything that everybody was saying here on the radio station. I'm a big disconnector. I think it's healthy to be a disconnector. I've preached that to my fellow co-workers there on Evan and Tiki, which they don't always do the best of disconnecting. And you go, oh, well, you're a much better radio host because you don't disconnect. So really? Okay. I guess, but I think it's a healthy way to go about it. You get a little bit of a break mentally. But I'm a huge sports fan. You could be a huge sports fan. Doesn't mean you can't go enjoy your life for a couple days. One thing about sports, I guess, except for a little period there in 2020, it'll always be there for you in a couple days. It'll be right there waiting for you. Like, where you been? What do you mean, where I been? And you could keep up with what's going on, but there's a difference between keeping up what's going on and sitting there and scrolling Twitter for 6 straight hours on the beach. This is a little PSA there. But I'm kind of different. I admit that I think there's a lot of hosts. I don't even know. I don't know what the breakdown is, but I know there are some hosts that can, and there's some hosts that can't. I choose to go the disconnected route. It's a little break, a little mental break. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Tommy Lugauer, another 90 minutes to go on the first After Hours since last Tuesday night. We've covered a lot already. We're going to continue to cover more here, including the Knicks, Mitchell Robinson. We'll dive more into the Jaylen Brown trade to the Sixers. What is the future of LeBron James? Could DeMar DeRozan become a Knick? We'll get into what Steve Cohen had to say with Joel Sherman and with John Heyman in Steve Cohen's first public sort of appearance and interview that he's done in a while. And, you know, we haven't heard from him in really since the first night of the draft, so it was great to hear from the Mets owner. We'll talk about the future of David Stearns. And, of course, your phone calls. If you want to talk Yankees, if you want to talk about Team USA, our loss to Belgium last night, if you want to talk Mets, if you want to talk trade deadline, basketball, really it's all on the table here. It's been a minute since I've been on with you guys, so we haven't been able to talk about all these topics. So tonight is sort of catching up and also talking about the big topics of this evening. So it's all on the table for the final 90 minutes of After Hours. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. 12:32 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. Did you miss me? It's been a minute. Very happy to be back. Hopefully everybody listening out there had a happy, healthy, very safe, very fun 4th of July weekend. I know there was a heat dome, apparently, where I was in Maryland. It was hot, but I wouldn't call it a heat dome. It was humid, and a heat dome feels like a Rosenberg thing, by the way, who still hasn't shown up to work in weeks. I have no idea where he is. I haven't heard from him. He has not even checked in with me. He's supposedly in my inner circle of friends. He's supposedly a big-time producer here for After Hours, and yet it's been, I think, 3 or 4 weeks since he has gone on vacation, and I have not heard from him. And I'm just curious why on my first night back after 4th of July weekend, after my vacation to Ocean City, Maryland, I'm trying to figure out why one of my supposed top producers and the self-proclaimed glue of this radio station is not here tonight. But I haven't been able to get that answer. But yeah, this heat dome sounds like something that Paul Rosenberg would make up to strike the fear in the hearts of people. You know what I mean? It's fear-mongering. There's going to be a heat dome, which is translation for heat wave, which we get every single summer. And you know what happens when we have a heat wave? It's hot, it's humid, and then it rains, which it did today in droves. And then I got this moron Rosenberg tweeting about the weather in Florida.
Dude, we don't need you to give us the weather in Florida. You know what the weather in Florida is on a summer day? The same it is every single summer day. Hot, humid, with storms. That's what it is. Literally, every single day is the same exact weather pattern. So why I need you telling me about the weather in Florida, I have no idea. And why you're not sitting here tonight on the return of After Hours, to me, is mind-boggling. And I don't even know when he gets back, because I haven't heard from him. Which, to me, is inexcusable. As a so-called friend and a so-called, you know, work partner here as far as a producer. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. But I did miss a lot of time, and I did miss a lot of major stories, including Mitchell Robinson signing with the Celtics, which I held out hope that Mitchell Robinson was coming back. Even though the writing felt like it was on the wall, especially when Bondi, when Shams the week prior to free agency starting, when both of those very well-respected, obviously great reporters, both had the same story on, I think it was even the same day, that Mitchell Robinson was in all likelihood not returning, and I'm paraphrasing the verbiage there, in all likelihood not returning to the Knicks, I still wanted to hold out hope that Mitch would be back. Because I knew that, well, number one, Mitchell Robinson is one of the best defensive centers, big men that you have in the league. He's the best offensive rebounder. He's an X factor for this team. He was the longest tenured Knick. And he was a big part of the run to a championship. And I wanted to see this entire group, this entire team return with an opportunity to defend their crown, to go back-to-back and win another championship. And Diawara was coming back. Alvarado was coming back. We got the news about Shamit. And obviously the second apron stuff, which really got into the atmosphere because James Dolan brought it up on Craig's show the day before the parade. I was always holding out hope that second apron be damned and that everybody would be returning. So when I got the news on Wednesday before I left for Ocean City, Maryland, I was obviously disappointed. And then when I found out it was the Celtics, you know, it's frustrating because I hate them. And Boston was in a big-time need of front court help, and Mitchell Robinson will be big help for them. But Mitch was a Knick that saw it all. He was there for the down times. He was there for the rise. He was there for the championship. So I'm happy that he was able to get his ring. He was able to get his moment. I certainly would love to have had him back. I certainly don't like that he went to the Celtics, but Mitchell Robinson, as far as an individual, you know, winning here, I'm sure that meant a hell of a lot to him, especially when you consider, you know, I remember being on this station producing for Summers, and it was the bad years, and literally, well, all we can talk about is Mitchell Robinson. He had the 12 blocks with the 25 rebounds. Can we get some highlights from Mitchell Robinson? The team stinks. And he was right. I mean, right. I mean, it's a fact that the team was horrible, but Mitchell Robinson was a big-time bright spot during the lean years. And then once his team got good, Mitchell Robinson was a big part of the winning, especially when it came to defense and rebounding. So it sucks to see him go. It's unfortunate that Mitchell Robinson is no longer here. Now, as far as Andre Drummond, defensively, you're losing a lot when you bring him in. He's not good defensively. Rebounding-wise, though, I don't think you skip a beat. I mean, he's a great rebounder. So as far as the rebounding of the Knicks with Cat, with Josh Hart, and now with Andre Drummond, the Knicks will be the same they were last year. They will be a force on the glass. But you're gonna lose some defense. Now, the Knicks could still go and get another big man to help them defensively. We just took a call last segment that there's some chatter that Klay Thompson could be on his way to the Knicks, which, hey, you're talking about one of the great shooters in the history of the league. You're talking about a guy that fits as far as what the Knicks do in terms of, hey, you bring Klay Thompson off the bench, he's going to get buckets. He's going to knock down threes. He's not the same as he used to be. He's not his prime anymore, but that's why he's a vet minimum off the bench type of guy. He has a championship pedigree, championship DNA. He knows what winning is. He knows what dynasty is. He knows what it means to win a championship. So I love the idea of bringing in a player like that. I'm also interested in DeMar DeRozan. Another bucket getter. Now, DeRozan needs the ball in his hands a little bit more than Klay Thompson does. So maybe that's not the right chemistry. Maybe that's not the right fit. Maybe that's not the right situation where DeRozan would be the perfect acquisition for the Knicks. And obviously, this is a Jordan Clarkson thing too, because Clarkson is still waiting on a decision there. If Clarkson is on his way out and the Knicks don't bring him back in, which I lean towards they will, but if not, if they want to switch things up a little bit on the bench, you know, the Thompsons of the world, the DeMar DeRozans of the world, these vet mens who, you know, veteran minimum contract type players. In DeRozan's case, searching for that ring. In Klay Thompson's case, searching for another ring. But both guys can get you baskets. I would like to see a big man that can come in here off the bench and play some defense. That is something that I would like to see. If you're telling me, all right, two more roster spots here, if Clarkson's not one, and they bring in two of the guys I just mentioned, then I want to get a big man that can play some D. Because Drummond's not great defensively. So it's a major downgrade there, but it is on par, if not close, to Mitchell Robinson when it comes to rebounding. You are definitely getting that from Drummond. And offensively, I mean, Andre Drummond can do more things on a basketball court than Mitchell Robinson can do. You know, he can give you, he shot 35% from three last year, Drummond did. That's a part of his game that has been there some years of his career, other years it hasn't been. He's also dreadful from the line. So watching Andre Drummond from the line, you'll get Mitchell Robinson flashbacks. I mean, he's absolutely hideous from the line. Although the percentages have gone up over the last couple of years, you know, he's a lifetime, I'd say, in the 50s as far as free throw percentage. Andre Drummond is. So he's not a strong free throw shooter, but he can grab boards with the best. He has become a guy that can knock down some threes. So I don't hate the move. I like it. I wanted Mitch, but when I got the story that it was Drummond, I was like, okay, cool. Cool. They're going to need more help defensively, but I do like Andre Drummond. And I always have. I think he's been a good, solid player in the league. He has certainly his deficiencies, and he's, of course, not anywhere near his prime, but that's what we're looking at here. When you're bringing in guys on veteran minimum contracts, you're going to get more of the guys that have been around that have not the stars they used to be or not the great players they used to be or not an all-star like they used to be, but they can be contributors. Same thing with Jordan Clarkson. I mean, Jordan Clarkson won Sixth Man of the Year. You knew you weren't getting that player anymore, but you still were getting a talented guy, and Jordan Clarkson certainly had his ups and downs, but in the end, throughout that playoff run, I mean, he had his moments. And we'll find out ultimately if he comes back, and then if he doesn't, that's where it'll open up the topic or conversation of if DeRozan is out there or other guys of that ilk are out there, who is the best fit? Because it's about fit. This is a championship team now. This is not about this guy gets us over the hump or this guy. This is fit. You want to bring in guys that fit the culture, that hopefully will fit the chemistry, and that their role, and they'll understand, hey, because Alvarado got it, Clarkson got it, Shamet gets it. They all get it. Sometimes you're going to fall out of the rotation. Can you deal with that? Can your ego handle that? Can you understand that you're not in your prime anymore? You're coming to a winning team that is very deep, that has a deep rotation, but at times guys are going to fall out of the rotation. Can you get with the program? That, to me, is very important. And that's why I wanted all these guys back, because I know that they all understand it. And I don't want to mess up that flow, because I think that's one of the big hallmarks of this Knick team is the power of friendship, the power of continuity, chemistry. That this group built together, you know, the core for years, forged in playoff losses, heartbreaking ones, series losses, heartbreaking ones. But it made them battle-tested and strong for this run. And then you bring in the right type of veterans with the right type of attitude, with the right type of work ethic, with the right type of mentality, and it was just a perfect group. So whether it's Drummond or whoever else they bring in, that to me is the expectation, that they will be guys that get with the program and understand what the deal is and what the mission is. And then there'll be guys that fit in with this team like a glove. Now, let me get to LeBron James. Where do I even start? we got the news last week. It was my last show of the week that LeBron James had informed the Lakers that he's no longer going to be a Laker. He's going to seek another team. He's going to bring his talents somewhere else. And there was already immediate speculation. Would it be the Warriors? Would it be Cleveland? Would it be Miami? Then all of a sudden, Philly started gaining some traction, especially after the Jaylen Brown trade. And then I'm starting to hear things about the Knicks. Get enough. And Rich Paul had to come out, and this comment infuriated me when I heard this one. Well, if the Knicks hadn't won a championship this year, LeBron James would definitely be a Knick. Who the heck wants him? Who is inviting him? And look, the Knicks probably did, but I wouldn't. I would just have enough. He had his opportunity. He had his chance. He didn't come here. I'm ready and been ready to close the book on LeBron James and the Knicks. He's a top two player in the history of the league. He's still really, really good. I just don't want any part of him, and I don't want any part of the conversation. Like, I think I threw up a little bit in my mouth when I started hearing about that. I'm like, seriously? We're still doing this? Off a championship? We're still talking LeBron James, okay? Let him go to Cleveland, the gutless, spineless, heartless Cavs, the analytical darlings. Let him go back there. Let him go to Philly and build a super team with no bench, no depth. Or let him go to Miami. Same thing. No depth, no bench, no shooters for the most part. And let them try to figure out that Rubik's Cube with those teams. Where our team, my team, your team, we figured it out already. It's been figured out. And it is a winning formula. So yeah, you could sell me on Klay Thompson. You could sell me on DeMar DeRozan. I don't want any part of LeBron James. And that comment annoyed the heck out of me. From Rich Paul. Well, hands down, he'd be going to... If the Knicks didn't win a championship, LeBron would be going there. Okay. Just like Giannis needed the Knicks more than the Knicks need him, LeBron at this stage, he needs the Knicks more than that. And that's what that comment to me means. Is sort of, oh, well, if it was about winning a championship for the first time in 50-plus years and LeBron being that guy, could you imagine we'd have to bring in LeBron James and it would have to be all about LeBron James winning a championship here? Ugh. Thankfully, that ended up not being the case, meaning by all accounts, now who knows if the Knicks would have brought him in, but based on those statements, if the Knicks had not won a championship this year, we'd have to bring in LeBron James and hope that LeBron James can get us a championship. That's what made this run and this team so special, is they didn't have to get in bed and do and make a deal with the sports of this devil, so to speak, by bringing in these super teams and trading for this disgruntled star or bringing in this guy. They built the team the right way with a likable group, a team that embodies this city. And I want to just hold on to that team with every sports breath that I have. And I don't want any part of this other circus nonsense. I don't. Let it go to Philly. Let it go to Cleveland. Let it go wherever. Just don't let it come here. Been there, done that. And LeBron had his chance. If he wanted to do what Rich Paul's saying that he would have done, then why the heck didn't he do it all those years ago? Why didn't he come here and be the centerpiece of a championship? Spare me with this stuff. Spare me. And spare me LeBron James on the Knicks. I really don't care what Eastern Conference team he goes to, but I hope he goes to one of them, and I hope the Knicks knock him out in the playoffs. That's my hope. That's my mission. So whatever team he's on, you could sign me up for the Knicks playing them in the playoffs. And I'm not taking anything away from him as a player. But this is, it's just, when is enough enough? And we'll get into Jaylen Brown next hour, because he's another one. I mean, he can't keep the Knicks name out of his mouth. And now he's in Philly, so I'm sure he'll look to embrace himself with the Philly crowd, and he'll be talking about the Knicks all year on his team that has no depth, that has a mummy in Joel Embiid out there trying to get down to court which he can't, and he's only going to get older, you know, as we all do, unless he's Benjamin Button and he's aging backwards. Taylor Swift got married in Madison Square Garden. First of all, I did know about this, but it was one of those things that I forgot about it, and I was driving to my buddy's house, and then we ultimately ended up driving down to Ocean City, Maryland, little bro trip, the first of two this summer. And I'm hearing about Taylor Swift's wedding and this road's going to get closed down, whatever the heck was going on over there. The only thing I thought of was, when I think of weddings at Madison Square Garden, the one that comes to mind for me, because obviously I'm a huge, or if you've listened to the show, you know this, that I'm a huge wrestling fan. And I got to look up the, I'm usually good with this stuff, but I don't remember the year. I know it was at SummerSlam, maybe it was like 91, whatever one was at Madison Square Garden. It was the match made in heaven and the match made in hell. So it was a dual main event, so to speak. It was a tag match. Sid was the special guest referee. It was Hogan. It was Ultimate Warrior, Warrior's last match in WWE, at least for that run. He got fired right after the match. And they faced Sergeant Slaughter, and he wasn't going by the Iron Sheik. I think he was going by like Colonel Mustafa, whatever the case, but it was the Iron Sheik. That was the match made in hell, and the match made in heaven was Macho Man marrying Miss Elizabeth at Madison Square Garden. So when I think of weddings at MSG, I think of Elizabeth and Macho Man. And it was an actual, like, they got married. There was no stupid angle. When there's a wrestling wedding, someone's got to come out of a cake, or someone's got to turn on so-and-so, or we got to find out this person's cheating on that person. And there's always got to be some type of Jerry Springer stupid angle that they do. This was legitimately just a wedding. And it ended the show. Nobody came out. I don't think they waited for Jake the Snake Roberts snake to bite Macho Man, I think, the week later. So in Tuesday in Texas or whatever the show was. So maybe it wasn't a week later. But I could have sworn maybe I'm getting my shows mixed up with that angle. But for sure, Macho Man, Match Made in Heaven, was at Madison Square Garden, which was one of the great SummerSlams of all time. But that's what I think of weddings, not Taylor Swift and Kelsey getting married at MSG. But I guess you could now put that up there as far as famous weddings at the Mecca. And it all ties in together. What a summer at Madison Square Garden. First, you had the Knicks win a championship. You had that unbelievable comeback in Game 4, one for the ages. And then you had the wedding of, I guess we got to call it the wedding of the century. I'm really, you know, so if Gordon Damer, and he's made this public, is probably a huge detractor of Taylor Swift. And Fliegelman, who basically wants to move in with her, he would be the biggest supporter of Taylor Swift at this radio station. I'm probably in the middle somewhere. I'm not going to get into, you know, I do think there are some singers and performers out there that are way better than her that a lot of people don't think are, but that's probably a story for another day. She's certainly extremely successful. I'll give her that. But I'm probably in the middle in terms of, you know, they got the Swifties, and then you have some of the people that hate the Swifties. I'm somewhere in the middle on that one. I don't have, like, a strong enough feeling towards her in terms of her. Like I said, there are some people I'd put ahead of her that I don't think a lot of people would, because and you do have to factor in fame and, obviously, success. But to get married at Madison Square Garden, I have to admit, that's pretty sweet. All I got to say is this. Thankfully, my wife didn't know this was an option, because we checked out every single wedding hall in the tri-state area. If my wife knew that MSG was an option, I'd be sitting there taking a tour of MSG for a wedding venue. I'd have to go to her and I'd be like, first of all, we're not Elizabeth or the Macho Man, so I don't think we can get married here, although they're giving us a tour. But my wife would be like, oh, that'd be great. We'll go to Madison Square Garden. Obviously, it's weather controlled. We don't have to worry about rain. She did something too when I was gone that annoyed me. Nothing crazy, but it has to do with the cat. Well, maybe we'll get into that later in the week. Maybe we won't get into it at all, because it's a little bit of a sore subject right now in the house, but perhaps we will. But she did something against my wishes when it comes to our cat that we can perhaps discuss later on this week here on After Hours, because I got you for a bunch of longer shows this week. The Yankees are 6:40 every night, except for Thursday, and then I have an open night, which is my first open night in a while. So we got plenty of hours to talk, plenty more time here on this show, an hour left to go. If you want to hop on now, talk Yankees, talk about the World Cup tonight, talk about, you know, Team USA losing to Belgium, anything Nick-related, if you haven't been able to get in touch with me over the last couple of days, because how could you? I haven't been here. We'll get into Steve Cohen and what he had to say, and this idea now that, and I wouldn't, but this idea that Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto, they don't necessarily get along, and Lindor could be on his way out. So we'll open up the conversation with the Mets coming up in the next and final hour of After Hours. But before we do all of that, let's get into a little fan focus. And this fan focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. My focus is Cam Schlittler. 8 strong innings, a real great bounce back performance. I was critical of his, what he put up against the Tigers, really, as far as a performance last week was, when you're the ace of the staff, I mean, that's not what you're looking for, especially with the way the team has been playing. But what you got tonight, that's what an ace does. 8 innings, mow down the competition, a huge win in what is a huge series against Tampa with a 4-game set, the first of 4 going to the Yankees. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call if you want to hop on now. Give me a call. We got one more hour left in the show. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the Late Night After Hours here on The Fan.